With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
What do the kids say, Figgy? Don't be scared. Don't be scared. We're gonna talk about who this Julio Jones trade scares the most. I've got a team in mind that I think is probably really, really worried about this. I want to get Wade Smith's thoughts on that. Wade Smith, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Landry will be back on Wednesday. But it was a blockbuster, man. I mean, it came. It landed on my phone, if you will. And then there was just a litany and an array of comments and oh wows. And I think Wade even said sheesh when news came that Julio Jones landed with the Tennessee Titans.
The long rumored deal for Julio Jones finally happened at about noon or a little bit before on Sunday. And this is a situation, Kay, where really since probably 3 or 4 days before the draft, it became clear to the teams involved that at the very least, the Atlanta Falcons were willing to consider dealing Julio Jones. And when they did not deal him before the draft, then it was just a matter of when is the actual deadline? When are they willing to do it? They wanted to be patient to make sure they got as close to a first rounder as possible. And of course, the mandatory minicamp for the Atlanta Falcons is this week. This was a pseudo deadline for the Falcons to say, you know what? Let's wrap up this issue. Julio Jones had requested a trade. They wanted to be as good as possible, as human as possible to one of their franchise icons. In the end, it was a second rounder and a 2023 fourth rounder to the Falcons for a sixth rounder in 2023, an all-pro receiver, Julio Jones, a new team, and a massive, massive weapon for the Tennessee Titans.
Massive, massive weapon, massive, massive trade. So what made you initially say, sheesh?
Well, I tell you what, man, when you look at what Julio Jones is going to bring to the fold in combination with Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown, those three guys are the most physically intimidating group of skilled players in the NFL right now. You can't go to any other roster and say to yourself, all right, you know, the number one and number two receivers are both number one guys, and they're both, you know, I don't know how tall A.J. Brown is, but he's built like a running back. Like he's got the speed of a receiver, but he's physical like a running back. And then I think Julio Jones is about 6'3", 220 or whatever mm-hmm. he is. And he's a legit 6'3", 225, like, you know, I'm going to Debo you. I'm going to sun you. I'm going to moss you because I'm faster than you. I also can jump over your head, like, you know, along that ilk of like Calvin Johnson, Megatron type of receiver. And then you got Derrick Henry, who is the biggest, baddest running back in the league right now. And they're all going to be lined up at the same time. And defensively, you got to figure out a way to slow down and stop it. And so good luck to the defensive coordinators out there. Good luck to the Arizona Cardinals that got them in week one. But that group of guys, healthy, matched with the offensive line and matched with that scheme and matched with a quarterback that fits so well in that scheme, they're going to do huge numbers all the way around, and that offense is going to be moving up and down the field on whoever you throw in front of them.
I totally agree. But, okay, so, you know, I go back to the old school NBA days, and this still happens in the NBA. You know, you have to match up against the stud. You know, you can go back to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Everybody in the entire NBA, especially in the Western Conference, was like, we got to figure out one way to match up against Kareem. And then you go down Magic, and I know you can't really match up, but you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. So who does this trade scare the most? I mentioned I have one team that I think that it's really gonna tweak them. And I think it's the Indianapolis Colts. I really do. You're in the division. You have a quarterback that really, and you may disagree with this, I think just needs to be average. He needs to be better than he was last year, but not necessarily as good as he was in Philadelphia when he's an MVP candidate. He just needs to be good. But even at that, with Jonathan Taylor and T.Y. Hilton, you still need another weapon. I think it's the Colts. I think there's some other candidates. Who does this scare the most, this deal in the AFC?
Well, I think it has to scare the Kansas City Chiefs the most, because the Kansas City Chiefs don't match up well defensively against them. And the one thing that can slow down a Kansas City Chiefs offense is another offense that can keep them off of the field. In other words, like, you know, Kansas City lost in the Super Bowl because Tampa Bay Buccaneers ran a ball down their throat, and they played well defensively to get them off the field. That part you're not going to get from Tennessee,
yeah.
But you can keep them off the field because you can run the ball with Derrick Henry, and then you can hit them over the head with explosive plays. I think the Chiefs are the number one team that should be a little bit concerned about what's going on with the Tennessee Titans. I look at the Colts and say, all right, their defense at least is going to give them a fighting chance against the Titans. Just because of the Darius Leonards of the world. Like, the defenses in the Forrest Buckners of the world, like, they got some guys on their team that, you know, can actually slow down the Tennessee Titans. And you're going to have, you know, high-caliber individual talents to slow down this team. Like, when the Titans play against the Rams this year, to me, that's the one team that can say, all right, we're going to put Ramsey on Julio Jones and just have that single matchup, and then we can double AJ Brown.
We'll deal with the worst.
We'll double AJ Brown, and we'll go single coverage with Ramsey against Julio Jones, and then we can keep the box pretty full, and that's a good matchup for that defense. They can go forward doing that. There's not many teams that have the personnel that can actually make that happen.
Yeah.
So it scares a lot of the teams in the NFC, but the ones that I think, you know, Could you jump up on and shock the world or jump up on and sneak up on and beat the Kansas City Chiefs? I think they have the pieces offensively that could potentially make that happen.
What about a team like Denver, who's already been kind of rumored with Aaron Rodgers? And by the way, tomorrow is a mandatory minicamp for the Packers anyway. So we'll see if Aaron Rodgers shows there.
He's not showing up.
He's not showing up.
They're going to give him an excuse absence just so they don't have to.
You think they will?
No question. Like, he's already mad at them. They're trying to do everything they can. It's just like when you're in a relationship and you've made your significant other upset, you're going to do whatever you can to try to mend the relationship.
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, sure. Sure. You're going to try to do whatever you can to mend the relationship. You're not going to poke the bear. Mm-hmm. And so if they try to find them, they're going to say, "Hey, we just want you here, man. Whatever you need." They're going to capitulate because they're in a terrible spot right now.
Yeah.
If Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up, cuz this is the thing, if their quarterback, what's the young quarterback's name, came from
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love, if he was ready, do you think that they would be?
Come on now.
You think they would be so?
That's a great point.
Head over the heels, trying to figure out a way to get Aaron Rodgers
rookie
back in
contract.
The
they can do other things.
Right.
If they thought he was ready, they'd say, "Okay, peace
okay,
out."
It is what it is. Yeah, man. Yeah. We would love to have you here, but you know we're ready to go with Jordan. But that's not the case. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers knows he has that leverage. They're going to try to do whatever they can to try to appease him. And so finding him because he misses a minicamp, I just don't see them doing that.
All right. So what about Denver? If they get Aaron Rodgers,
And
what does Denver do?
So that's a premise that I don't even think is realistic, because I don't see Green Bay trading Aaron Rodgers. I don't agree with that. I think he's going to come. They're going to give him some more money, and he's going to be a Green Bay Packer for the next, you know, couple of years or whatever it may be. If he was to somehow make it to the Denver Broncos does have one of those defenses that you would say, they're not going to be afraid of the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
There's like a handful of defenses that you say they're not afraid of them. Like, they got guys that will get after you pass rush wise, and they got guys that can stop the run. They got DBs that, you know, you might could maybe match up somewhat with what you got going on. Their safeties are some of the best safeties in the NFL. So they would like their chances on slowing down the Tennessee Titans just enough to eke out a victory. But I don't think Denver Broncos are really looking at the Tennessee Titans saying, like, oh, damn, they made that move, so now we don't have our shot. First of all, they're trying to do whatever they can to try to get Aaron Rodgers in the fold. But if they don't have him in the fold, they're not looking at this season saying we're competing with the Tennessee Titans of the world.
Right.
They're trying to be better than the Raiders in their division. They're trying to just make it to the playoffs. They're not in a conversation with the big boys yet.
The other thing is, and we haven't even mentioned them, I mean, Ravens and Bills are right there.
Yeah.
And to me, that's really intriguing, especially from a Bills perspective, because I think they are built, man. They have got their quarterback. You know, they went and got Diggs, you know, year before last, and they've got, you know, a defensive front, which we were talking about, fill in the box. You know, if you've got a defensive lineman, that can maybe on their own keep Derrick Henry from going off, then you can maybe do some things. I mean, I know no one wanted Julio Jones in the AFC, but what are the Ravens and Bills thinking?
So I think the Bills are a team that they need a running game their damn self, right? They need to figure out, because that's the one thing they don't do well. They don't run the football well. They do everything else pretty damn well. They're good on defense.
Yeah.
They could throw the ball all over the yard. You know, Josh Allen is the best running back on the team. You don't want your quarterback to be the rest of running back unless you're the Ravens.
Right.
And so that's something that they're going to have to contend with as far as trying to slow down the Tennessee Titans. The Baltimore Ravens wanted Julio Jones. They were trying to trade for him themselves. So it hurts them worse than it does the Bills, because the Ravens actually, they need that receiver to help out Lamar Jackson, to help him be a more consistent passer and to bring that element to their passing game, because right now their passing game is the tight ends and that's it. And if the tight ends don't go off, they're not going to move the ball through the air. They were trying to get a guy like Julio Jones and it didn't work out. So I think it hurts them twofold. Both of those teams, like, I think all three of those teams are pretty comparable, and they're all chasing the Kansas City Chiefs. But if I had to pick one of those three teams to be the one that I could actually upset and beat the Kansas City Chiefs, I think the Titans are built in a manner because they can more consistently run the ball and they're more explosive on the outside. And so they can try to go point for point with the Kansas City Chiefs.
I agree. I think I'd put the Bills in there. They didn't want it, but I think they're kind of collectively shrugging, saying, oh, well, okay, now we got to figure out, you know, how to stop him. I do want to ask you, though, we didn't get to it. You know, I think Deshaun Watson is obviously directly affected, not just from the teams looking at him, but maybe the teams that he's looking to go to. So I want to ask you about that. We'll dig into that. And of course, all things Julio Jones next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
It's a dubious anniversary today, man. I didn't even know about that. We'll get to that in just a second. And boy, would we even be talking about this?
Nope.
Right now.
Nope.
If not for that anniversary. Spoiler alert from Wade Smith right there. Wade Smith in, John Lopez, Figgy Fig here in the loop for you till 2 p.m. We'll get to that anniversary, but let's get to Deshaun Watson first. We haven't really mentioned Deshaun Watson today at all, but this to me, the Julio Jones trade, which enormous trade that's going to change the entire landscape of the AFC, at least maybe the entire NFL. I mean, I think it has a direct, you know, not even stretching it, influence and impact on Deshaun Watson. And my thoughts are this, I want to get yours. Number one, what are the Miami Dolphins thinking right now? The Miami Dolphins, your former team, one of your former teams, Brian Flores, that whole group over there. I've said it. Other people have agreed with me. Other people have disagreed. I think they've been at the front of the list for Deshaun Watson from the get-go. I still think they are. I think he's going to end up there. What are they thinking? Does it expedite that, all right, on Deshaun Watson? What is Deshaun Watson thinking? I mean, Deshaun Watson right now, if he has a choice, and I don't think the no-trade clause is really that big a factor anymore. I think he just wants to get out no matter what.
Yeah.
But even at that, he's, you know, his agent's working. You know the deal. You know, everybody in the NFL, I always call it the biggest sewing circle in the world is the NFL. Everybody has gossip. Everybody knows what everybody is doing. Are his agents all of a sudden saying, you know, maybe somewhere elsewhere in the NFC, like Philadelphia, might be a better mix? How does this affect, in your view, Deshaun Watson?
Well, I look at it like this. In the NFL, things become an arms race. And so if it's an arms race and you got a guy that's a big-time player in the NFC trading sides and going to the AFC, that might make a team in the AFC, because they want to get to the Super Bowl, make a move and be willing to pay more to make a move to bring him to the fold. It goes back to you're talking about the Miami Dolphins. You know, the Miami Dolphins understand that they've laid and built a legit foundation there, and they're trying to take the next step. And now, right now, Tua is the starting quarterback, and they're all in on Tua. But, you know, Deshaun Watson, I think they've had their eyes on, and I agree with you. They're the team that really wants him the most. You know, this trade right here could hasten them to say, you know what, we really need to go ahead and get him in here sooner than later, because we want to, you know, we're in this arms race with the Tennessee Titans and other teams in the AFC. Now, the problem with Deshaun and his legal troubles is that, you know, you don't know, is he going to be suspended this year or not? Is he ever going to play football, you know, this season? How long is – there's so much uncertainty there that your timeline might not change as much. But the thought of, hey, what I'm willing to give up to get Deshaun Watson to compete with the teams that are continuing to get better, you have to consider that. Same thing with, like, the Cleveland Browns. There's teams – and it's cool to say that, I'm sure, Figgy. The Cleveland Browns is a team – that, you know, they're adding pieces and they're trying to compete with the big boys. You talked about the Denver Broncos earlier, about them trying to add Aaron Rodgers. All of these teams in the AFC that are improving themselves, you know, the Colts bringing in Carson Wentz, they feel like that's something that's improving themselves. They're trying to win an arms race, because if you make it to the Super Bowl, that means – and that's ultimately everyone's job, is to get to and win a Super Bowl, but that also extends your livelihood and your career with whatever organization you're in. And so you're willing to give up assets in order to make that happen. And so I think that makes a lot of sense. I don't look at it from a perspective of Deshaun Watson saying, I don't want to go to an AFC team now because we got to contend with Julio Jones and the Tennessee Titans. Just the natural competitive
competitor
in players would say, I'm not going to try to avoid anything. But I do think – or anything or anyone. But I do think that there is a significant factor there of, hey, the teams in the AFC, some of those teams like the Miami Dolphins or the Denver Broncos might say, hey, we need to get Deshaun in here, because these guys are going to be good for the next 3 years.
I agree with you. Deshaun is going to bet on himself every day of the week. The guy has, you know, championships in high school, championship in college, and feels like, you know, he wants to be legendary. That's his word that he uses a lot. I'm not saying he's going to be ducking anyone, but part of not ducking anyone, it's kind of a cousin, is what's my easiest path to get to a Super Bowl?
So you're saying he might use the Floyd Mayweather method of picking fights?
Like, yes,
exactly.
Ducking
people, but he's going to fight Cinco. People at the right time. You know what I mean? He's not going to fight. He's not going to fight, you know, Canelo today. He's going to fight him 6 or 7 years
ago.
And
the other thing is, if anyone needs to win a championship just to kind of turn the narrative around on his life, it's Deshaun Watson. So here's the other part of it. All right, so Julio Jones went to Miami. He's not going to be ducking him, but it makes the AFC a little more difficult than the NFC. What if Aaron Rodgers does go to Denver? All you have in the NFC is Tampa.
That's a lot, right?
That's a lot. That's a lot.
In itself.
But
Green Bay. Oh, you said
Green Bay would be gone.
Are you saying if Aaron Rodgers does go to Denver?
Yeah, Green Bay would not be the power to Rams. Yeah, Matt Stafford. What do you think of Matt Stafford?
He's better than Goff, so that means they'll be better.
I know, but Deshaun would be betting on the easier path would be the NFC. Seattle, obviously, you've got Russell Wilson, but who knows what's going to happen there. The NFC, Cowboys, I mean, what do you believe in Dak and that defense and everything else? I'm just saying he's not going to be ducking anyone, but does it affect his thought process of, hey, man, Philadelphia, I might only have to worry about Tom Terrific.
I tell you what, man, the NFC is starting to shape up right now to look like it's an easier path, but I don't think that's even going to come into play right now. Deshaun Watson just wants to get out of here, for one. And
yes.
For two, he wants to go somewhere where he feels like he has a chance to compete with the best of the best. He wants to be, I think that's like playing 3D chess, when right now he just wants to be able to get on the checkerboard and play. He just wants to play. Like right now, he's just hoping to, can we get the black pieces and the red pieces out here and play? He don't need a 3D chess to try to, because I can see where you're saying it, but like, hey, if he would probably have that thought process if none of the cases had came out. And
gotcha.
And he was just, it was right, he was in the same position right now, and the Texans were playing hardball, and he was trying to leverage his way out of here, and he might say, well, I'm going to no trade this team, I'm going to no trade that team. I don't think he's going to no trade any team. I think wherever they trade him, he's going to be willing to go, because he just wants to get out of town. But I think he's going to want to go somewhere, and I think the places that are going to want him are going to be places that are trying to take that next step and are going to be willing to give up what it takes to do so. And Miami Dolphins is the number one team on the list that has
I agree.
And Philadelphia would be right behind them, that has the assets that would cause the Texans to say, yeah, this makes sense to make this deal.
Happy anniversary, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
This is a big day, man. We may not even, like literally, may not even be having this conversation 2 years ago today. 2 years ago today, Bill O'Brien had to go to the podium and explain this.
Brief statement. Cal McNair said it all in his statement the other day. He did a thorough evaluation of the football operation. He was very clear with me on what we needed to do to continue to grow as an organization, as a football team. Very good at articulating what he wants, what he sees, his vision, the improvements that he thinks needs to be made relative to the whole building. I don't think, obviously he's not afraid to make tough decisions. Number one is relative to this football team, he wants to win. And he's been perfectly clear with the whole organization on what his expectations are moving forward.
Wade, when you think about where this team was when they fired Brian Gain, that's who Bill O'Brien is talking about right
there.
2 years
ago today.
2 years ago today, Brian Gain was fired. Obviously, Jack Easterby started his coup, if you will. Of the entire organization, and Bill O'Brien ultimately, initially Chris Olsen was in charge of football operations. He got fired.
Yeah.
Which I said it at the time, I was livid about Chris Olsen getting fired, and most people didn't even know who he was, because I felt like he was the only person in that whole building that had proved himself to be elite. If you want elite people in the building, he was elite with the salary cap. Jack Easterby takes over the salary cap. You turn into a mess. Then all these, tough, smart, dependable people come around and no matter what. And then Jack Easterby with the, his culture, if you will, do the next right thing. Stuff starts happening. Hop gets traded. JJ says peace out. Deshaun Watson legitimately directly references Jack Easterby without mentioning his name about one of the biggest reasons. These people think they have this power, in the building. 2 years ago today, we might be sitting here, but we wouldn't be talking about this.
No, we wouldn't be talking about this, because most likely Jadeveon Clowney would have gotten an extension.
That too.
And DeAndre Hopkins would still be here. And those two moves are some of the biggest moves in the history of the franchise. And you saw the deterioration of the franchise and how it went from that point. And at the time, you thought to yourself, well, damn, Cal McNair is – he's not playing around. He's not being around the bush. You heard it in the comments by Bill O'Brien. He sounded like a guy that was like, man, if I don't get my stuff together, I'm going to be gone too. And that ended up being the truth. And you end up seeing the moves he made, bringing in Laremy Tunsil and what he was willing to give up to give him, because it sounded like, based off of what he's saying and how he his voice and the fact that Brian Gain was let go when he was let go with 3.5 years still remaining on his contract, that Cal McNair was like, nah, we need to win, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. And so Bill O'Brien made some foolhardy moves in order to try to make sure that he could stay around as long as possible. And now the franchise is dealing with the consequences of that. And so, like I said, we would not be talking about Now, I don't know about the Deshaun Watson situation because
– Well, but Easterby.
I mean,
Deshaun – Easterby, you know, he alienated Deshaun. Deshaun,
well, that aspect, you know, of it. For sure we wouldn't be talking about Deshaun Watson wanting a trade.
Right.
Because I don't
think – Now, the other stuff,
you don't know if that would have happened or did it happen. Yeah. We still don't know if it even happened.
Yeah.
Or if he's going to play, when he's going to play, all that type of stuff. But as far as him being so disgruntled with the organization and so many guys trying to find a way out the door – This was the precursor to all of this was the catalyst, and we didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. But you got to think about it. People have been saying that, you know, there were people behind the scenes did not want Jadeveon Clowney to be on this team, and Brian Gain wanted to give him extension.
Yeah,
people were talking about getting DeAndre Hopkins out of the building because he's whatever reasons, practice habits, all that type of stuff. Not the right type of guy.
That's
B.O.B. and Easterby, those two guys behind the scenes. But Brian Gaines was the decision maker, so they had to figure out a way to get him up out of there.
It was a coup.
And that's what ended up happening. And so then all of those moves, just rolled downhill from that point.
Yeah.
And now here we sit. But, yeah, just imagine if he never gets fired. Or just imagine if Nick Caserio gets hired the first go-round. If he kept power.
Yeah, and B.O.B. had to go through him or work with him.
Right.
I mean, they might have won in Kansas City, depending on who was around.
They might have won in Kansas City. They might have. There wouldn't have been drastic moves, period.
Yeah.
Like, Brian Gain comes from that cloth of doing things methodically and building the roster bit by bit and not doing the big bold moves that were talked about after the certain trades that were made. Like, no, it's not about being big and bold. It's about you being reasonable and using logic and building things systemically so that you can actually have a sustained amount of success.
Yeah.
And Brian Gain was built from that. He was one of those type of guys. Nick Caserio was one of those type of guys as well, but you had to go through a lot of foolishness before you got back to that point.
Absolutely. But here we are. And here we are with Tyrod Taylor, which is a perfect time to talk about Tyrod Taylor. Wade Smith says, no way, no how, Tyrod Taylor starts anything fewer than 17 games if he stays healthy. I'm not so sure I agree.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Oh, man. I've just been this whole time. What, 2 hours, 35 minutes, I was just under the assumption that Julio Jones was traded to Miami rather than Tennessee. Man, I'm just so dumb.
So, I tell you what, man. We've been talking about him being traded to the Tennessee Titans, like, all day long.
He
said Tennessee, like, 20 times. And
I've said Tennessee 700 times.
And the one time that he says
gotcha guy. He's not even a well actually guy. Somebody says, hey, Lopez, you literally just said Julio Jones went to Miami. You don't even know what you're talking about. You literally just said that. So I texted him back. Sometimes I text back here as much as I can anyway during the breaks. Okay, I've said Tennessee 700 times, but I did say Miami once by accident. So that obviously means I don't even know where he's going. Yes, that's probably a little bit thin-skinned, which I generally am not, but it's not even thin-skinned. It's like, come on, dude. If you're listening to the show, you know what we're talking about. You know where Julio Jones is going. But it'd get me thinking what you were talking with me about before the show, about social media, and in this case, the text board. being warped. I thought it was awesome, your point.
Yeah, man. Like, I didn't watch the Chad Johnson fight, the Ultra Super fight. I didn't watch it. I'm not going to pay money for that. I'm sorry. Like, I'm glad that those guys can figure out a ways to make some money off, but you're not going to get me on that. So after the fight was over, all I see are these memes and these videos and all this stuff about Chad Johnson getting knocked down. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, so I guess he lost the fight. I'm looking at him, knocked out.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first.
I'm looking at it the same way that Nate Robinson. Because remember Nate Robinson not too long ago got dropped, and it's like, oh, man.
He got dropped.
Another athlete that got knocked out. And I was like, dang, you look at Twitter, you look at Instagram, all the videos that were posted on SportsCenter and ESPN and all these different Fox Sports, whatever was on there, it was Chad getting dropped.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I wonder what happened with the fight. And you see something here. I had to do some research to actually find out that, oh, yeah, he actually won every other round.
They thought he won. There was no official decision.
Right, it wasn't official decisions made, but people watching the fight were like,
he did well.
He did well. Like, he got knocked down. He jumped right back up. I don't know what he put his hand up for. He was like, yeah, you got me. You got me good. But he was fighting a guy that's a street fighter. And he did well for himself. But if I had just looked at this one video and I didn't do my research or do some due diligence, I would have thought, well, dang, you know, Chad Johnson got whooped and he didn't show well for. And I was like, dang, it's crazy that if you look at social media only, if you look at and you just take things for face value of what they tell you, what they say, man, you'll have a whole different jacked up warp reality.
Although I didn't like what the example you gave on me, though.
Well, you know, I'm not saying
you're completely wrong.
I was just thinking to myself, like, if we got, like, if social media, what was posted, and then reality of situations came about, I think that the post that we would see would be completely different. Like, I thought to myself, like, man, if Landry Locker posted everything that was, like, realistic, you know, he'd be posting IG videos of him watching romantic comedies.
For sure.
And watching the 2006, you know, national championship game, watching UT win the national championship game and crying.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be teary-eyed videos of that. Or we'd get videos of Lopez throwing out huge batches of OG sauce.
Come on now.
Because they just weren't quite right.
You know what?
They just weren't quite right.
You're not altogether wrong.
That's some realistic stuff. We don't get those posts. We just get the baby. We get the final, you know, production. You know?
I've perfected it, so that hadn't happened in a while, but generally, if it wasn't quite the way the OG sauce the way I wanted, I would just keep those for me, like, to cook with, you know, or whatever. They aren't quite exactly right.
I'm actually running low on some of mine.
I got you. I'll bring you some tomorrow. I got you. I made another batch, I think about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. I'll bring you some tomorrow for sure. While we're here, I want to definitely get into the Tyrod Taylor stuff. But speaking of social media, Figgy, I am not anti-tattoo. You know that. Whatever you want to do, you do. But
you're not.
I'm not anti-tattoo. Okay, I'm pro-tattoo.
You're pro-tattoo. Okay.
Okay. That was a kind of a double negative.
That was like,
I didn't like that. I have no problem with tattoos.
Right.
My only question was, Figgy posted this weekend. Was it on Facebook?
Yeah, it's Facebook.
I'm looking for a good tattoo artist, and I'm like, okay, that's fine, but why now? I mean, you're in your 30s. You don't have any tat, right?
No, I got one. I got one when I was 16.
Oh, okay.
And that was the last one I got. That was the one time I said, hey, I need a tattoo. Yeah. I never said it
But since. 16 is almost forgiven. Your mom had to sign for it, I guess, your dad?
Yeah, she signed. Yeah, my mom gave me.
So I was like, I don't care about tattoos. I don't have any, but whatever. I'm not passing judgment on the actual tattoo. I'm just like, why now?
I don't know, man. I kind of been feeling it the past couple years, but now I'm just like, you know what? I want to get a good tattoo. Let me find a good tattoo.
What are you thinking?
I'm not sure, man. I've been looking on Pinterest and all that stuff, trying to get ideas. But
see, that's even stranger. He just likes the idea.
So you don't have something specific in mind that you want to get in some.
I don't. I do like the arts of tattoos.
Yeah.
But
Isn't that weird?
Figgy just wants to be viewed as a badass.
Yeah, he wants to get some more.
You got this certain type of swag that comes to you when you get the tat.
But, and you have ink.
I have a bunch of it, but I didn't get my first tattoo until I was like 31 or 32.
Okay,
like
that. And that's
why I got my first tattoo in 2013. So that would have made me.
I'm sure there was like a meaning behind it.
Yeah,
right?
All of my tattoos have meaning. Like all of them. Like every last one of them have some sort of meaning. It's either, you know, a picture of my grandmother's passed away, her face.
There you go.
I got my kids' names on my body. I have you know, just various things that some kind of way affected me. My, you know, the tombstones of my grandfather, my uncle.
Okay, see, now that
after.
That I get.
Like, I got some, but see, my tattoo artist, I got one guy. It's almost the same thing like barbers. Like, you get a barber, you stick with a barber. Tattoo artist. So you, that's why I can understand why Figgy is like trying to find somebody, but don't get to hopping around.
Oh no,
you don't want to be.
I'm
a
not
tattoo
a regular.
Guy.
Yeah, I'm not a regular tattoo guy right now. So I'm trying to find that one guy where I could eventually go to.
Yeah, that's what struck me. I was like, okay, good. I thought like something happened major in your life, like I don't know what, but you want to. All right, I'm gonna get a tattoo, and you're like, nah, I just kind of want a tattoo.
Yeah, I just want something that look really cool.
Let me ask you this, Figgy. Did it have anything to do with you getting established in this business? And
yes.
It's part of playing the game. In other words, like.
I gotcha.
I didn't get my first tattoo until I was in year 11 going into
the like joining the
NFL.
Navy, you get a tattoo.
Right. But what I'm saying is there's connotations for guys with ink and guys without ink. Mm-hmm. True or untrue? How true or untrue?
You don't want
to have to put any type of impediment of you
and your career
being a success. It has to do with your career.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I colored my hair.
Right.
Because if I wasn't working in this field, I probably wouldn't color my hair.
Right.
Because certain jobs you can't get.
Well,
with
no,
this
anyone
type of hair.
And certainly that's cultural, that's racial, but it's also not racial. Like, you know, some dude gets all tatted up, you know, on his face or neck or whatever, and tries to apply for any job.
Right.
It's going to hold you back.
Before I started working here, I was working at a high school, and there was no way I could walk around tatted up like that.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's better. Yeah. Okay, so now, see, we
see, this has something you got to talk it out
something.
And work it out.
We settled something today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
All right, let's settle something else. We've played this before, so if you've heard the audio before, I think you're going to like how we kind of move on from this because or dovetail off of this because, Wade, you think that Tyrod Taylor, the job is his for 17 games barring injury. This was Tyrod Taylor when he was talking about the role that he might get when he signed.
Honestly, was not for sure about that, and just knew that it was an opportunity for me to be able to showcase what I could do. Since I came into the league, I've always treated the job, and I think every quarterback should approach it this way, is just to prepare as a starter. Because at our position, you're one play away. You never know when that opportunity will come. So regardless of how the roster looks, you have to come in and prepare as a starter each and every day. And that gives yourself the best chance to go out and be successful, but it also gives your team the best chance to be successful throughout the year.
First of all, I'm not completely buying that, but I don't blame him for saying that. I think he came here with the purpose and the knowledge of, all right, Deshaun Watson is probably not going to be there. It's my best chance to become a starting quarterback. But from your perspective, you know, that being said, no matter what side you believe of that, you think that the job is his, which I agree with that, but that it's his for 17 games.
Yeah, the only thing that's going to – he's not going to lose his job based off of performance reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, if he loses his job, it's because Davis Mills does something above and beyond of what his expectations are in practice day in and day out, and he goes out there in the preseason and goes out and when he gets his opportunities, and he plays above his head.
Yeah.
Right? And if that happens, that's why he would start. Or if Tyrod Taylor gets hurt. which
well, sure,
has happened.
That's going to be
those
the,
are the only
the
two
baseline.
Reasons. My whole point of saying this is that Tyrod Taylor plays a brand of football that coaches love, especially coaches of teams that you know that this is not a Super Bowl caliber team. This is a team that we're trying to fight to be in every game possible, mm-hmm. and we want to win as many games as we can, but we want to put ourselves in a position to win every single ball game. That is literally, if you put a buy on Tyrod Taylor, what he brings to the table, he's going to put you in position to win every ball game because
yeah.
he's not going to turn the football over. He's going to complete, you know, somewhere around 60% of his passes. He's going to make the right decisions. He's not going to make bad choices. And so because of that, he's going to give you a chance. He's going to be able on 3rd and 8. He can scramble and get you 11 and keep a drive going.
Yeah.
That's Tyrod Taylor. And so he's going to make a good throw here or there, and you'll be like, wow, that's a good throw. But he's not going to consistently wow you at all. You're not going to get that out of him. But this team I don't think this team has those expectations, and I don't think the fan base has those expectations that the starting quarterback of this team is going to be wowing them. That guy doesn't want to play here. The guy that's the wow guy, he doesn't want to play here anymore. So, and for sure, Tyrod Taylor knew that coming into the situation.
Those dudes
know each other. They cool. They have the same quarterback coach, all that stuff. They know. He knows that Deshaun don't want to be back here.
Yeah.
And so he knew that this was a great opportunity for him to come in and be a starter. He was the starter last year. He was the starter the year before that. Mm-hmm. He was the starter 3 years before that. Injuries is what took him out of being a starter in L.A. Injuries is what took him out of being a starter in Cleveland. He was the starter in Buffalo before that for 3 seasons.
Sure.
And so the one time it got political and they threw a guy in there that shouldn't have been in there and wasn't ready, Nathan Peterman, and where is he at now?
Yeah.
Like, that's the only time that's happened. And so I don't see this being a situation here in Houston where they're going to just give Davis Mills anything. And I don't think that Tyrod Taylor is going to give them a reason either to bench him. He's going to play well enough to say he's going to give us a chance to win. And if you're giving us a chance to win, you're going to stay in the ballgame.
I have a counterpoint to that, but this is Tyrod Taylor on the pressure of filling Deshaun Watson's shoes.
Yes, of course. As far as the pressure thing or the pressure question, I don't think anyone will put more pressure on myself than me. I have high expectations for myself. I hold myself to a certain standard. So coming out each and every day and performing at a high level is where the standard is. And of course, yes, Deshaun played at a very high level and has played at a very high level throughout his career. I've been a fan of his and I know him personally, but the opportunity, to be able to start here is something that I look forward to, and looking forward, like I said, just going out and competing with the guys that we have in our locker room, the great talent, Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, Jordan Akins, David Johnson, Philip Lindsay, Mark Ingram, all guys that I've admired from afar. Being able to be in the locker room with those guys and to go battle with those guys on Sundays is something that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, see, this is where I deviate from you a little bit, because I think you make a strong point on what Tyrod Taylor is and how he can play. But from a Texas perspective, they also brought him in for a reason. They brought him in for a reason. A part of it, I believe, is because he did sort of mentor Baker Mayfield. He has played that role in Los Angeles with Justin Herbert. And so now here comes Davis Mills, who's not Justin Herbert and not Baker Mayfield, but he is their first quarterback draft pick. And you and I were talking about this a little earlier, the politics of the NFL, Caserio buttoned up or not, you know, play by the book or not, he wants to see his guy at least get some sort of reps. I think at some point during this season, whether he gets hurt or not, they're going to find a reason to get Davis Mills on the field.
I just don't agree with that line of thinking, not with Nick Caserio, not based off of what I've seen out of him, with the lack of status and clout that coming into things Davis Mills has, because it's one thing when you have a first round quarterback
you got to figure out with him on
the field. But Davis Mills is a third round quarterback and he doesn't have that type of cachet coming into the building where you say, for political reasons, we're gonna throw him out there. An example of that would be Tua last year with Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Tua played because Tua was drafted so high. That was political.
Absolutely.
Because Ryan Fitzpatrick
he
didn't play well. And Ryan Fitzpatrick was not playing poorly when he got benched. Like, they needed to get a look at Tua because they need to start the process because he is their, according to them, he's the quarterback of their future. Yeah. Now, that was before they knew that Deshaun Watson could potentially be available, and that's a whole nother conversation. But when they drafted Tua, they drafted him to be the guy. If you feel like that they drafted Davis Mills to be the guy, I don't believe that. I believe they drafted him that he potentially could grow into something, but I don't think they drafted him to be the guy.
Yeah.
That would be surprising to me. Now, maybe they did, and I
agree with that.
Me, but
I think they're going to draft a quarterback with their first-round pick next year.
Right.
Hell or high water, whatever you see from Davis Mills. All I'm saying is I think they want to see Davis because, I mean, they know what their record's going to be. Or not exactly, but they know they're not going to be in a contender so long as he doesn't get killed back there.
So Davis Mills might play like week 15, 16, 17.
Yeah.
The season is out of reach. There's no way that you can win a ball game. Mm-hmm. Then you throw him out there. Because then everybody on the team understands that's why he's out there.
Yeah.
If he has not earned it yet. And this is my biggest caveat to what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
You can't give Davis Mills anything. But if he shows that he earns it, if he earns it by week one, then he needs to be your week one starter. Because if he earns it by week one, then that means – that he's playing at such a high level that he's going to be better than Tyrod Taylor. He's going to give you a better chance to win than Taylor right now. So then, now you'll get a whole season of what you
–
so you can figure out can he do it when the lights are on, right? It's one thing to do it in practice. It's one thing to do it in preseason. Can you do it when the lights are on?
Right.
Well, for the Texans this year, the lights aren't going to be on.
They ain't going to be on very much.
When the sun comes out, I'll say it this way.
That's right, when they open the roof.
When they open the roof. But until he shows that, he's not going to get on the field.
Yeah.
I just don't see it that way, and Nick Caserio doesn't strike me as that. If Bill O'Brien
maybe
was still the guy in charge and he drafted a guy really high, he's going to play his guy because I think that's where he operated.
And more ego and
all of that. All this stuff plays into it. I just don't see that out of Caserio. And I don't. Why put Davis Mills in that situation to not succeed?
Right.
Put a guy in a situation to succeed. And maybe that's me being wishful thinking and optimistic, but I want to see a guy being put in the best position to succeed and throwing him out there just because, not because he earned it. That's the last thing you want to do because the guys around you know that. And if you throw him in there too early and the season is not out of reach and you got guys in there like, well, we're trying to get a look at this guy, but the season. That's why I'm sure people, the players in Buffalo probably looked at McDermott like he was out of his damn mind when he threw Peterman
in there.
And then a week later, he was back out, and Tyrod Taylor was back in, and he ended up going to the playoffs.
No. Okay. I mean, I get your point. We'll see how it plays out. We're going to go around the NFL now. Dan Campbell put a racing helmet on at his press conference. Wondering what that's going to sound like and go how that's going to go over. In the locker room, and Aaron Rodgers, how that rift is going to end. There was another development over the weekend we discussed next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.